we are on the top of Tesva Vamed Aleph, three lines down. El Amar Rav Ashi. I looked at this on Thursday. I looked at it on Thursday briefly to make sure I know what I was doing, but that was probably a bad idea since it's now Monday. All right, it is Monday, right? Okay. So the Gemara is in the middle of a long discussion that stems from the Mishnah on Yudalid Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on Yudalid had said that if somebody shechts on Shabbos, if somebody shechts on Yom Kippur, he's chayiv benafsho for violating Shabbos. They're willing to call him chayiv benafsho also regarding kareis for Yom Kippur. That's called mischayiv benafsho. But his shechita is kosher. Fundamentally, the shechita is kosher. And the Gemara is troubled by a brisa which we brought on Yudalid Amud Aleph, which said that you may not eat it. Asur b'achila le'yoma. That day you're not allowed to eat it. The shechita is kosher, but you're not eating it that day. So we were perplexed as to what exactly the logic is that brings us to that point. And the Gemara already brought three different approaches. It brought the approach of Rabbi Yehuda regarding hachana, as seen in the laws of nevela for animals on Shabbos, and it said basically that the animal that you shechted was not ready for use at the time that the day began. Therefore, it's also that day, but the shechita is kosher, so after that day you'll be allowed to eat it. That was our first approach. Our second approach was also from our Yehuda regarding hachana, as seen in the laws of repurposing broken kelim. If you have a kli that breaks on Shabbos and then you want to be able to use it for some other purpose, you want to use the shards or whatever for another purpose, so again, when Shabbos started, it wasn't ready for that purpose. That was our second approach. Our third approach was also of Yehuda regarding huktza midaito, something which you set aside from use before Shabbos began. So we talked about a used lamp and the idea that the lamp is now disgusting. So therefore, again, there's nothing wrong with the lamp, but it's also for use that day. You set it aside saying, I'm not going to use it. So the first three approaches are really all variations on a theme, which is, it's also for Shabbos because it wasn't meant for that use when Shabbos began, whether it was because you actively undesignated it, so to speak, or whether it's because of a natural non-designation, all cases being the same. Here, we're going to present a fourth and final view, and it's going to take it in a different direction entirely. The issue of avoiding, or at least as Rashi understands it, avoiding benefit from isurim, from prohibitions. Technically, the shechita is kosher. However, I don't want you benefiting from malacha that was done inappropriately on Shabbos. And there are two possible concerns. I put it in the first footnote on your sheets. There are two possible concerns here. One concern is nehenem eiser, that you shouldn't benefit from a prohibited act. And the other concern is knas, that we're going to fine you and say, we don't want you to use this, because if we allow you to use this, that gives you an incentive to break the law in the future. So we are going to fine you in order to prevent you from breaking the law in the future. And there are three possible rulings which you can technically give under those concerns, or because of those concerns. One ruling is mutter. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and use it. The second ruling is mutter for use after Shabbos. We won't let you benefit that day, but after Shabbos you can, because at that point you're not benefiting from the Isser. Along with that comes the possibility of Bechdei Sheyasu, that will make you wait after Shabbos long enough that you could have done it after Shabbos. We'll talk about that a little bit in shortly. And then the third possibility is Aser La'olam, that it's going to be Aser forever. So our source case is going to be the case of someone who cooked on Shabbos. This happens all the time. I mean, hopefully not too often. But somebody cooks on Shabbos and somebody else is in a position to benefit from it. Is he allowed to benefit therefrom? You go to somebody's house on Shabbos and you realize, you know what, they're not expert in all of Hachos Shabbos. They heated something up in a way that it wasn't appropriate. And leaving aside the question of whether you say something or don't say something, is the food mutter or aser? Am I allowed to benefit from that cooking that went on Shabbos? And that's what we begin with. Ela Amar Rav Ashi. Rather, Rav Ashi says, after the challenge that's brought to the third approach, we're on the fourth line on Tezvav Amar Aleph 15a, Rabbi Yehuda Demavashalhi. The source for this view, that if someone shechts on Shabbos, the shechita is kosher, but you're not allowed to benefit from it that day, that's Rabbi Yehuda's view regarding Bishul, regarding cooking on Shabbos. Disnan, or as they note in the margin, it should really be Disanya, the following brisa. Hamavashel b'Shabbos b'Shogeg Yochal. If someone cooks on Shabbos accidentally, Yochal, he may eat from the cooking. He himself, forget others, he may eat from the cooking. Rashi throws in the term Bechdei Sheyasu. The Gemara is not going to use that term. Rashi throws it in. He says, Yochal hu atzmo ubo bayom, he may eat that day. Ve'ein tzarech lahamtin ad ha'erev Bechdei Sheyasu. He does not need to wait until that evening, until enough time has elapsed after Shabbos that he could have cooked it after Shabbos. Dehadam rinan ba'amo la'erev Bechdei Sheyasu. Lesley the Rabbi Meir. We are presenting Rabbi Meir's view right now in this brisa, and he doesn't believe in the idea of waiting until it could have been done after Shabbos. Elahecha da Abad Yisrael Yisur Obamezid, other than in the case in which a Jew broke the law intentionally. Because then we have to make sure that he doesn't benefit from the Yisr. But not if it was by accident. So Rashi's position is, a Jew cooks on Shabbos by accident, he is allowed to benefit therefrom. To translate that into another case, which is common, but is not entirely analogous, a Jew walks into a room and forgets for a moment and turns on the light. Is he allowed to benefit from the light? If I accept that this is analogous, the answer is yes. It was accidental. He turned it on by accident. He's allowed to benefit from the light in the room now that it's on. Bimezid lo yochal. But if he does it intentionally, the Gemara continues, then he may not. Correct. He may not eat from it that day. Rashi says he may after Shabbos, b'chdei sheyasu. After Shabbos, after enough time as he left, that he could have done it after Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's position. So if you look at the sheet, the position of Rabbi Meir is straightforward. He does not distinguish between whether the cooker may benefit or whether others may benefit. He says if it was done by accident, mutter. If it was done on purpose, mutter after Shabbos. As I state Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shogeg yochal matzai Shabbos b'meizel lo yochal olamis. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you did it by accident, then you're allowed to eat it after Shabbos is over. If you did it intentionally, you may never eat it. And Rabbi Yehuda here does not seem to have made a distinction between you benefiting and others benefiting. Here he doesn't seem to have made such a distinction. However, as Rashi notes, he actually does. In the Mazid case, in the intentional case, the Rabbi Yehuda will say, you may not, you the cooker may not. However, others may eat from it after Shabbos. That's the implication brought in Rashi. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer b'shogeg yochal lemotzei Shabbos la'achirim ye'achel lemotzei Shabbos la'achirim. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler gives me a third view. He says if you did it by accident, then others may eat from it after Shabbos is over. We're not talking about halachas yet. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the answer is no, but we're not talking about halachas yet. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says if you did it b'shogeg, others may eat from it after Shabbos v'lo, but he himself may not. B'mezid lo ye'achel olamis. If he did it intentionally, no one may ever eat from it. Lo v'lo la'achirim, not him and not others. It's the strictest of the three positions. That's the position. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is explained in Bava Kama Ayin Aleph. He says the pasuk says v'shmar temes ha'shabbos ki kodesh hi lochem. Guard Shabbos because it is kodesh for you. So malacha done on Shabbos is off limits like kodesh. That's the way that he takes it. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda says others may benefit b'chdei sheyasu by mezid is because he doesn't want you to benefit from iser. That's why he says that others may not benefit until after Shabbos is over. According to the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Shin Yud Ches, as well as the Magen Avram there, the idea of b'chdei sheyasu, of waiting until after Shabbos is over and it could have been done after Shabbos, doesn't apply here. Rashi applies it here, but nobody else does, lahalacha. B'chdei sheyasu is only employed regarding someone who isn't Jewish, who does malacha for you on Shabbos. And the reason there is because we consider it likely that a Jew is going to ask a non-Jew to do stuff because people don't take that all that seriously. So in order to make sure that they'll take it seriously, we'll make him wait until the non-Jew could have done it after Shabbos. And therefore there will be no temptation for him to have him do it on Shabbos since he's not gaining anything anyway. But we don't think that people are going to cook themselves on Shabbos such that they'll be dissuaded by such a knas when it's their own cooking. If someone really doesn't take the law seriously, he's not going to wear b'chdei sheyasu after Shabbos anyway. That's the assumption. So b'chdei sheyasu, Rashi employs it here, but la'alacha, it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch.
But if a Jew cooking the mezid on Shabbos,
if a Jew cooks the mezid on Shabbos, then they say it's also for him forever.
And for the other people.
except for Rabbi Meir's view. Sorry. All right, so wait. In terms of figuring out what we actually do, we'll get to it at the end of the discussion here. I just wanted to make the point about Bechdei Sheyasu, because it's confusing, because the Gemara never mentions it, but Rashi does. It's Rashi's opinion, but it's not Paskin that way, la halacha. So again, we brought this Brisa as an attempt to understand why it is that our original Brisa said that the Shechita is kosher, but you can't use it that day. So now the Gemara is going to want to know which view within this Brisa is the view of the Brisa from Yadalid, and the ones that I put in bold and underlined on your table, on your sheet, are the ones that Gemara entertains as the possible explanation. The assumption right off the bat is that it's Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda said that if you cooked by accident on Shabbos, then it's usur that day for you and for others, but after Shabbos you're allowed to use it. So that's exactly like our case of Shochet B'Shabbos. The case of Shochet B'Shabbos on Yadalid, you shechted on Shabbos, usur that day, but the Shechita is kosher for afterwards. So that's what we want to say. The Gemara, though, asks now, V'nokma b'mezid for Rabbi Meir. We really have to get moving here. Why not say that it's talking about where you did it b'mezid, not b'shogi, but b'mezid on purpose, and it's Rabbi Meir's view. Rabbi Meir said, after Shabbos, it's mutter. Lo salkadaitoch, don't think that. Dikatani dumi de Yom Kippurim, because it listed Shabbos as well as Yom Kippur, suggesting the two are side by side, they're linked. Ma Yom Kippurim, loshna b'shogeg, loshna b'mezid lo achil, avachanami, loshna b'shogeg, loshna b'mezid lo achil. You know, you can't eat it on Yom Kippur, even if it was by accident. Even if you cooked it, you shechted whatever you did, by accident, it's still Yom Kippur. So therefore, therefore, it can't be that you would be, it can't be that we're talking about Mazid case specifically. It would have to apply to Shogeg. And in a Shogeg case, Rabbi Meir says, you're allowed to eat it. Right? Rabbi Meir says, mutter. In other words, since we said this is not just a Shabbos rule, it's also a Yom Kippur rule, the person who is the author must say that it's usur that day, even where you did it b'Shogeg. Because it's Yom Kippur. So therefore we throw out Rabbi Meir. It can't be Rabbi Meir talking. Whoever is talking must say it's usur to eat that day. Umi matzis mokmis la b'shogeg Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. You think it's shogeg and it's Rabbi Yehuda talking? V'ha'ava pishem ischayev b'nafsho katani. The Braisa said, even though he is liable for his life, how could he be liable for his life if it was b'shogeg? If a person does it b'shogeg, he brings a chatas. Hachi kiamar. So the answer is reword it. Aval pi de mezid mischayev b'nafsho hu hacha de b'shogeg shchitas hakshera. The statement was, if it were b'mezid, it would be he'd be liable for his life. By the way, this is actually shogeg. So we took away the teeth from that line. The Nokma Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. Well, why not say it's Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler speaking in our Brisa, who says usur that day but mutter later. Damar loshna b'shogeg loshna b'mezid lo achil. He says no eating that day, whether it's accidental or it's intentional. So that fits for Yom Kippur. To which the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler kamafli b'mitzoy Shabbos lacherim v'lo lo. That's no good, because Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler says that after Shabbos, others are allowed to eat if he did it b'shogeg. Right, we did accidentally, but this person is not. And Tana Didan Shchita Sokshera Katani Loshna Lo VeLoshna LaAcherim. Our Tana said Shchita Sokshera, whether it's him or whether it's others. So it can't be. Tosas offers another possibility, so we may or Shogi without a Chola, but I'm not going there right now. It's confusing enough as it is. We don't really need to complicate it. But the point is, our Brisa that said Usur that day, Mutter later on, is in fact the view of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the consult your rabbi for specific situations, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It says that if a person cooks intentionally on Shabbos, it's usur for him, and it's mutter for others after Shabbos. If he cooks accidentally, it's mutter for everybody right after Shabbos. Okay.
Our Mishnah, we're talking about.
But he's talking about Rabbi Yehuda. It happens to fit our. Right.
Mishnah, right.
Well, no, our Mishnah is Shechita.
Right.
Our Mishnah Shechita, we're on Bishon.
Cooking.
I'm talking about Bishon. I'm not passing review for anything on Shechita. Sorry?
The Torah passes like Bishon.
Okay. The Tani Tana Kameh Derav. We learned that it was Tana taught. This is you have to be very careful with the words Tana and Amora in the following discussion. It doesn't mean what we think it means. We use Tana to mean sage of the Mishnah, Amora to mean sage of the Gemara. That's not the way they're going to be used in the following very entertaining discussion. The Tana here, Tana means somebody who was learning, a student. Amora means the speaker for the Tana, the real Tana. In other words, let me say it differently. You have someone giving a shiur. The person giving the shiur has somebody who is his amplifier and explicator. The person whose job it is to actually project his words to the crowd and explain them. That person is the amora. He is the authority in the shiur. He is the one who tells you what the Rebbe is really saying. All the students who are sitting around are called Tana. From Tana, which is the Aramaic version of Shana, which is to learn. So they're all the students. The Tana is the student, the Amora is effectively the Rebbe. That's important to the next piece. Watch what happened. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav. A student is sitting in front of Rav, and he said the following. If a person cooks on Shabbos accidentally, he may eat it. If he cooks intentionally, he may not. In other words, like the view of Rabbi Meir. Umashtik le Rav. And Rav silenced him. My time amashtikle, why did Rav silence him? Elim Mishum Disvira Lake Rabbi Yehuda, if it's because Rav agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, Vitana Tani Karabi Meir, and the student said what Rabbi Meir said, Mishum Disvira Lake Rabbi Yehuda, Manda Tani Karabi Meir, Mashtikle. Is he gonna silence the one who sides with Rabbi Meir just because he personally sides with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Meir is a legitimate point of view. Silencing someone in the middle of Beis Medrash is a very sharp thing to do. And further, Misavar Laka Rabbi Yehuda. You tell me Rabbi Yehuda, Rav followed Rabbi Yehuda? Did he really? V'amar Rav Chanan Barami. Rav Chanan Barami said, Ki mori lu Rav l'talmide mori lu k'Rabbi Meir v'chi darish papirka darish k'Rabbi Yehuda mishomamei ha'aretz. The truth is that when Rav gave shiurim in public, he said to follow Rabbi Yehuda, who was stricter, because of Amei Haaretz, who wouldn't be careful. Like the Rashi that we saw in checking the lungs back on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, what he told people in public was a stricter position. But what he told his Talmidim personally was to follow Rabbi Meir, that you could be more lenient. So why would he silence a student who's saying to be lenient? And if you'll say it's because it was during a public shiur, and there we didn't want people misled, who listens to the Tana? Who listens to the student in front of the Rebbe? They'll listen to the Amora who's projecting the words of Rav. So what is it? Why did he silence him? So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, or Nachum Yitzchak explains because of the difference between Shechita and Bishul. Tana Shochei Tana Kamei de Rav. The student was talking about the Shechita case in front of Rav, and we'll see, it's even more complicated. HaShochei B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezid Lo Yochal. What he said was, if someone shechted on Shabbos accidentally, he may eat it. Intentionally, he may not. And Omar Lay, and Rav said to him, My Daitach, what are you thinking? Rabbi Meir, you want to employ Rabbi Meir's comment that he made regarding Bishol? Adkan Lo Kashar Rabbi Meir Alev Mevashel. Rabbi Meir only permitted it regarding Bishol. That's where he said that you would be allowed to eat it that day if the whole thing was done b'shogeg. Deroy lakos, because you could have chewed it. It was raw, but you could have chewed it when Shabbos started. It wasn't muktzah. Aval shochet de'ein roy lakos lo. But if the animal wasn't even shechted before Shabbos, you can't chew on live animals. Please don't chew the animals. The rule is you may not benefit from it if someone shechted on Shabbos. So the point for our purposes is, Rav silences him because he inappropriately borrowed from Shechita to Bishul. To which the Gemara says, is it really inappropriate? V'hamas nisim, what about our Mishnah to Shochetu? That was talking about Shechita. V'amar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, Darash Chia Barav, Mishmei Derav, Chia Barav cited Rav himself as saying, Asur Bachil Leyoma, you may not eat it that day, V'nasvin Chavraya Lameima Rabbi Yehudi. And our Chavraya, meaning the other Talmidei Chachamim, said, Rabbi said that that the reason Rav said this is because he believes, is because he's presenting the view of Rabbi Yehuda, implying how Rabbi Meir Shari, in the case of Shechita, Rabbi Yehuda is strict. Rabbi Meir is lenient, so don't tell me it's Muktza. Rabbi Meir will say no. It's Mutter there as well. To which he answers, Ki Shari Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir's permission was specifically, Kigon Shahaya Lo Chola Mi Ba'od Yom, where there was a patient who was ill before Shabbos began. That's what we're talking about. And therefore it wasn't Muktza, because you knew you were going to need to shecht it in order to provide for the chola. And then the chola got better during Shabbos. And that's really the key for us. He was sick when Shabbos started. He then got better after Shabbos started. You shecht it inappropriately for him. But it was b'shogeg. And what we're saying is, Rabbi Meir will permit you to eat it, because after all, it was an accident. It's not muktzah, number one. And number two, it was shogeg. And that's why Rabbi Meir will permit you to do the shechita. And the Gemara follows through.
Iyachi is not the Isser Shabbos, the act of shechita.
I'm sorry?
Doing the shechita itself, not all the books. Rashi said there's no iser shara.
Oh, because he hasn't gotten to the stage yet where the patient got better. That's the next couple of lines. That's one. Wait for the next couple of lines. Ihachi, if so, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda da asar, then why did Rabbi Yehuda render it off limits? If you have a chola, then there's no iser. So the answer is, kigon shayelo chola the hivri. He got better on Shabbos. That's the idea. The v'chihad da'amara, if you see Rashi there, he'll tell you, desu Shabbos yishogi ika da'hivri. V'chihad da'amara v'acha bar'ada amara, as v'acha bar'ada said, citing Rav, v'amila amara v'yitzchak bar'ada amara, Rav, alternatively, is v'yitzchak bar'ada speaking, ha'shochit l'chole b'shabbos, asr l'bari. If you shecht on Shabbos for a patient who was ill, and who had become ill on Shabbos, Rashi says, then a healthy person may not eat from it, because it was mukta. So when Shabbos started, hamivasha l'chola b'Shabbos mutter labari. But if you cook for an ill patient on Shabbos, then a healthy person is allowed to eat from it. My time, why? Because it's not muktzah haroy lakos. It's suitable for chewing on v'hayin haroy lakos, as opposed to the shechita case. So in other words, there's a reason to distinguish between shechita and bishul. In the shechita case, it was muktzah. You still have that issue. Even though your act was permitted, there's a muktzah concern.
Is the reason we're allowed to use...
In the bishul case, we don't. Sorry?
That's the reason we're allowed to use electricity on Shabbat, even do water for
the... No, that's a whole other discussion. Don't go there, please. Please don't go there. Thank you. It's a great discussion, but I'm never going to finish this stuff then. So the idea here for our purposes is that our Mishnah of Shechita... Right? Our Mishnah about Shechita is only Rabbi Yehuda speaking, and Rabbi Meir would permit regarding Shechita. Why would he permit? What about the Muktzah concern? The answer is where there was a patient who was ill when Shabbos started, and therefore the animal wasn't Muktzah. Tosos asks, why doesn't it become Muktzah when the patient gets better? Muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. So the answer is either we don't hold that way in this Gemara, we don't hold that something can become Muktzah once Shabbos starts. It was permitted when Shabbos started. It doesn't become permanently Muktzah for the rest of Shabbos later. Or alternatively, because patients who are ill sometimes have a relapse. So even if he gets better during Shabbos, that doesn't guarantee that he's going to be better for the rest of the day. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa presents more of the same. He says, Pa'amim sheh shochet mutar. Sometimes, if a person shechts for this patient who got better, it still may be mutter. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. Sometimes someone might shecht on Shabbos, and others will be allowed to use it. Kigon, such as, someone who had a patient who was ill before Shabbos started. Mivashe, so in such a case, you shecht, the meat is allowed. Why? Even if the patient got better, ultimately, your shechita was shogeg, and it wasn't muktzah because there was a patient who was ill. So therefore it's okay. However, mevashel aser, if you cook for him, it's still going to be off limits. Why? I'll give you the case in which you cooked for a patient who was ill, and in fact he was still ill when you cooked for him. And it's also for others, because we're talking about where you chopped up a gourd for him. Rashi says you cut the gourd from the ground. So it's a malacha del rice of cutting it from the ground. Tosfos says it was already separate from the ground, but it was mukta because it needed chopping in order to make it usable. But the point is that no one else is allowed to benefit from the cooking you did on Shabbos. Why? If I'm allowed to benefit from the shechita that he did for a chole? Because shechita is a single act. You didn't add to your shechita for anybody else's sake. It was only one act. As opposed to cooking, if you cooked and there's more than what the chola needs, that means you did an additional act that I'm benefiting from on Shabbos. It wasn't the act that was for the chola. It's not like yontif where we say the more you cook, the better the food is or something like that. That doesn't apply here. So the point for our purposes is that the statement he's making is if you cooked for someone on Shabbos appropriately, he was a chola, other people are not going to be allowed to eat from it. Amar Rav Dimi Minerda, Rav Dimi of Nerda says, Hilchasa, the law is Hashochet Lechola B'Shabbos, Mutter Lebari, Be'umtza. If you shechted for an ill person on Shabbos, and he was ill when Shabbos started, so the food wasn't mukta, then a healthy person is allowed to eat as long as he eats it raw. He can't cook it, he can eat it as an umtza. as a raw chunk of meat. My time, why? Kevin de efsher le kizayis basar below shchita, since you can't get a kizayis of meat without shchita, that's what we just said. Kika shachet adai to the chola kashachet. It was shechted for the chola, and everybody else benefits from the same act. Parenthetically, like we discussed regarding the karban, regarding eating the sayur lashem after Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur is a Friday, and you eat it on Shabbos, you have to do, we will solve the salting problem the same way we solved it over there, that the meat, the blood doesn't leave the vessels, or the answer that we gave in that discussion. If you cook on Shabbos for a chole, the healthy person is not allowed to eat it, lest they add to it, lest they add to the to the cooking. Okay, that concludes that discussion.
Does that sound like Rabbi Yehuda then, at the end of the day?
Yes. It sounds entirely like Rabbi Yehuda. I don't it's very clear out of here to side with Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, the Rif, cited in the Rush, sides with Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch does. However, Tosfos notes, it does sound like we side with Rabbi Meir in this piece. The Tosfos says it sounds here like we're siding with Rabbi Meir from the flow of the Gemara. And then why does Rashi and Beitza prohibit the use of a gift? It's a nice Tosfos discussion, but we're going to continue here with this. But see Tosfos from more on the point. There is, it's sad to say, just the language of the Gemara sounds like we're going to side with Rabbi Meir in terms of the flow itself. Okay. New Mishnah, new thought. We're not discussing cooking on Shabbos now. We're not discussing shechting on Shabbos now. We're going back to the discussion of what you're allowed to do in terms of shechita. What is considered a kosher act of shechita? Hashochet b'magol yad b'tzur u'bekana shechita sokshera. If you shecht with a hand scythe, or a stone, or a reed, the shechita is kosher. With the point of the hand scythe, as Rashi explains, that it has two blades. It's like a double-edged sword, right, where it has two edges. So here you have two blades. One of them is smooth and the other one is jagged. So as long as I use the smooth side, the shechita is kosher. Bidyeved, as the Gemara is going to point out. Hakol shochtin. When it says hakol shochtin, it doesn't mean anyone may shecht. We already knew that. We saw that in our first Mishnah on Chulin. What it means, as the Gemara will explain, is that every creature, animals as well as birds, require shechita. Ula olam shochtin, and you can shecht, or not only you may shecht in any era. And what that means is, we'll discuss, remember that the Gemara says that in the Midbar, the Torah says that they weren't allowed to eat meat, just stam. You ate meat as part of a karban. Then shechita became permitted for chulin. So he's saying is, in any era now, you shecht. The Gemara is going to say it. Ubakol shochtin, and you may use any implement, chutz, except for the following. Chutz mi magal katsir, except for a scythe that's used for the harvest, and the issue there is that it has teeth to it, it's jagged. Vahamagera, a magera is a saw, it's a blade that has teeth in it. Vashinayim, as well as your own teeth. And what he says here by your own teeth, he means not your own teeth personally, he means the teeth in a jaw of an animal. Don't do shechita by biting into something. But it means you took the jawbone of an animal with the teeth in it, and you tried to use that to do the shechita. Vahad siporen, or fingernails that are still connected to the finger. It means your own fingernail, like you do malika with your fingernail. That also, mipnei shame chonkin, and the reason is that all of these have flaws in them, and they're going to catch the trachea, the esophagus, and choke rather than slice. That's the concern. So the Gemara now goes back over this Mishnah, reviews this Mishnah. Gemara says, Hashochet, one who shechts with the magol yad, the tzur, the kana, it's kosher, but the implication of the language of Hashochet, one who shechts, is diyeved in. It's only b'diyeved that is good. L'chatchila lo, but l'chatchila is no good. Bishlam of the magol yad, I understand why it's only b'diyeved regarding the hand scythe, right? Dilma asi l'me'eved b'idach gisa. We are concerned that you might come to use the other side, the side that's jagged. Ela tzur v'kana l'chatchila lo, but why can't I use a rock? Why can't I use a reed even l'chatchila? Then make sure they're smooth. Very many. Not only that, we learned bakol shochtin. You may shecht with anything. Bein b'tzur, bein b'zchuchas, bein b'krom is shakana. We mentioned three items there. One was a rock, another one was a piece of glass, and the other was a reed. So what's your problem? So he says, lo kasha, no problem, there is no contradiction. How? Kan betalush, kan b'mechubor. One is talking about where they are separate from the ground, the other is while they are connected to the ground. So I have a reed and I want to use that, or I have a rock that's connected to the ground, and I'm going to move the animal's neck instead of moving the rock. That's no good l'chatchila. And the Amar of Kahana, because Rav Kahana said, "Hashochet b'mechubar l'karka." If you shecht using something that's connected to the ground, Rebbe posel. Rebbe will disqualify it, as we're going to see on the next Amud. You'll see why. Rabbi Chiya machshir, and Rabbi Chiya says, "No, it's kosher." He's going to talk about vayikaches hamacheles by the Akedah. We'll see it there. So when Rabbi Chiya says kosher, he only means b'di'eved. So our Mishnah, which says b'di'eved, is following the view of Rabbi Chiya, who's saying that it's kosher b'di'eved. That's the answer. The b'mayo kimta. So wait a minute. How do you say to read our Mishnah? You say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Chiya v'di'eved. That's what we're talking about. Ela hadisanya. Wait a minute though. I have a brisa in which Rabbi Chiya says the opposite. The brisa says bakol shochtin. You may shecht with anything. Bein betalush bein b'mechubar. Whether it's separate from the ground or connected to the ground. Bein shasak in lamala v'tzaver behema lamata. Bein shasak in lamata v'tzaver behema lamala. No matter which one is the upper item, that's not germane for us. It's a separate discussion. Whether the knife is above or the neck is above is irrelevant. The shechita is kosher, whether it's connected to the ground or not. Mani, who is the author then? Lo Rabbi v'lo Rabbi Chiya. That can't be Rabbi and it can't be Rabbi Chiya, because it says by Mechubar it's kosher. Right? I have two views. Rabbi and Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi said it's no good. Rabbi Chiya said it's kosher b'di'eved. Here it sounds like it's kosher l'chatchila. So who is that going to be like? E Rabbi Chiya, if it's Rabbi Chiya, diavad in lachatchila lo, it's only b'diavad good. E Rabbi, diavad nami lo. Rabbi wouldn't accept it at all. Lo olam Rabbi Chiya. The answer is it's Rabbi Chiya talking. Va'afil lachatchila, and you're right. Rabbi Chiya really accepts the shechita with mechubar, with something connected to the ground, even lachatchila. Then why did we use b'diavad language? Va'ide kamiflagi b'diavad lo diach hakocho de Rabbi. The reason why he made his point regarding b'diavad was to show that Rabbi will go so far to prohibit it. That Rabbi prohibits it even b'diavad. If we usually want to emphasize the view that's more makil to show even there he's makil, we didn't do it here. The elamas nisin de katani hashochet diavad in lachatchila lo mani. So then, wait a minute. Now I have a problem with our Mishnah, right? Now that you told me that Rabbi Chiya permits it even lachatchila and Rabbi prohibits it even b'diavad, who wrote our Mishnah? Our Mishnah splits the difference. Lo Rabbi v'lo Rabbi Chiya. I Rabbi Chiya v'lo lachatchila. If it's Rabbi Chiya permitted even lachatchila, I Rabbi diavad nami lo. And if it's Rabbi, then even lachatchila won't. So now I'm stuck. Lo olam Rabbi Chiya v'lo lachatchila. The answer is it's Rabbi Chiya talking in our Mishnah, and even lachatchila he says kosher. And the fact that our Mishnah said Hashochet, talking about b'di'eved, is within Rebbe. But wait a minute, Kasha read to Rebbe ad Rebbe. Rebbe says Aser b'di'eved. Our Mishnah said Mutter b'di'eved. So the Gemara answers Lo Kasha, no problem. Kan b'mechuber meikaro, kan b'talo shul b'sof chibro. We give a brand new approach. Forget this business of L'chadchila b'di'eved. The answer is that the difference is between whether it's connected to the ground and it's always been connected to the ground, or whether it was separated at some point and then reattached. That's the issue. If it's connected to the ground from its origin, Rebbe disqualifies it. If you connected it afterwards, Rebbe accepts it b'di'eved. Only b'di'eved, because he's worried that you might come to use it l'chadchila. He doesn't want you doing that. I'm sorry, because he's worried that you might come to use it when it's always been connected to the ground. That he doesn't want you to do. So it's only b'di'eved that he's willing to accept it.
How is this possible? Come the talush or the soft thing, right? How is it possible?
I took a reed, I picked it from the ground, and then I jammed it back into the ground. Or a rock, same thing. That's talush l'basav chibro. That's the idea. So again, our Mishnah said, I am allowed to shecht b'di'eved with the hand sickle. We understood only b'di'eved lest you use the wrong side of the blade. Our Mishnah said, you're allowed to shecht with a rock or a reed. B'di'eved. Why is it only b'di'eved? The answer is because we're taking the view of Rebbe, who says you're not allowed to shecht with it if it's always been connected. Our Mishnah is where it was removed from the ground and then reattached. We don't want you using it, lest you use one that's always been connected, but b'diavad it's okay. So the Gemara asks, we ain't done. The Gemara asks, Umanat Tamer Deshani Lan Bein Bechuber Meikar Latalo Shul Besav Chibro. How do you know there's any difference between whether it was always connected or separated and reconnected? Disani, it's the following Braisa. Hashochet B'muchni Shchita Sok Sheirev. You shecht with a wheel. And the blade is attached to the wheel, and you pull it like a pulley, and now that the wheel turns, and it does the shechita, shechita sok shera. B'mechubel lekarka shechita sok shera. It's not connected to the ground, it's kosher. Not sakin bakota v'shachat v'shechita sok shera. You jabbed a knife blade into a wall, and then you move the neck of the animal along it. That's kosher too. Hayat sur yotze min hakotel, o kana ola me'ela v'shachat bo. But if a rock was protruding from the wall, or if a reed was growing on its own, you shecht it with a shechita so psula. That's no good. So kashana dadi top of tezayin abad aleph. That's self-contradictory. In the first part, you said you can use that which is connected, and now you're telling me that you may not use that which is connected. Elav shemamino shani bin mechuber leikaru letalur shul b'sav chibro shemamino. We see there's a difference between that which was always connected and that which you separated and then reconnected. Always doesn't necessarily mean always.
Yeah.
Based on the cases that we're bringing, the case in which you the rock is protruding from a wall, right? The wall wasn't always there. Always doesn't really mean always here. Always just means it's been there for a very long time, apparently. I don't know. That requires more analysis. I'm not confident about that point.
It sounds like if you have a knife that comes out of a wall, as part of the manufacturing process, that it would be...
Possibly even be the evidence. No, possibly even b'di'evit. If it's because if it's always been there, then we say it's possible for sure.
But it's not always there.
No. But that's what you're, here we're saying that being part of the wall is something that was always there. That's called mechuber meikaro. Talush was the seifa in which not the seifa. Talush was the case in which I took a knife and jammed it in myself. That's what I'm saying. Being part of the construction of a wall is considered to be mechuber meikaro. Is considered to be always there. That's the way that they're phrasing it here.
Even if the wall was there first?
No. Again, if it was part of the construction of the wall, then that's called mechuber meikaro. If it's something which you jammed in yourself, that's what you're talking about. Okay, then it's talush l'basav chibro, and it's kasher b'di'evit. Yes. So it appears. Okay.